to win that championship tonight, but I want to win it clean. Old-time hockey. Like when I got started, you know? Geez, Toe Blake, Dick Clapper, Eddie Shore, those guys were the greats.
Yeah, sure, old-time hockey.
Like Eddie Shore.
Yeah.
Coach, our line starts?
Sure.
Can we get a game to win?
Old-time hockey, you bet. Welcome. It's old-time hockey. It's old-time Brooke here. It's old Brooke. Brooke Ward with you. White Spot. Vintage White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Old-time hockey. Ho, 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 ho. Jack the Giant. Jack Buddy. Already chirped enough to top. Welcome back, though, big guy. Hello, Jack.
Ho, ho, ho.
You bet, Jack Baby, in fine form. Once again, welcome to the program. Brooke Ward with you. Ron Toigo, the majority owner of the Vancouver Giants, going to join us in a couple of minutes. The 1-2 Giants, who are having trouble keeping puck out of their own goal at this moment. You don't like puck in goal. No one like puck in goal unless it's in other guy goal. No puck in own goal. Don't do that. You don't want puck. Anyway, the Giants have seen a lot of pucks go in their own goal. And they scored a few goals too, but keeping them out has been an issue early. We're going to talk about that during the program. Bill Wilms later on. Also, Nathan Canter on the big show tonight. And again, Ron Toigo, just connecting with Ron, trying to track him down right now. He'll be on in the first segment. And among other things, going to talk about, it is the 25-year anniversary, the silver anniversary for your Vancouver Giants. And how did it come about that you moved to Vancouver anyway? Ron was in Tri-City with the Americans at that point, ownership. And then something turned around and then, you know what? He lived in Tawasin. Like, it's a long drive to Tri-City. Let's try it in Vancouver. And bingo, bango, bongo, what a success this franchise has been now playing out of the Langley Event Center. The Giants, again, on the weekend, did not have things go their way in both games. A home-and-home, they split a home-and-home series with Victoria. Boy, what a crazy game it was on Friday night. 6-5 in overtime, Vancouver over Victoria. Giants were down 4-2 after two, then scored three straight in the third to take a 5-4 lead. Gave up one late before winning in overtime. Cameron Schmidt, the overtime winner, 6-5. The buzz in the building in the third period and in OT, 3-on-3, and in action. It was crazy, folks. What a playoff atmosphere out there for that game. That leveled the Giants' record in the season at 1-1. And then on Saturday, into Victoria, the Giants got thumped, 9-4. Wish I could put it a better way. They were trailing after one period by a 3-2 score, and they only had two shots on goal. They were outshot 13-2 by the Royals. They scored on both of those shots, and maybe your Sportsnet, your White Spot turning point of the game. It was Oreskovic for Vancouver in a 2-2 tie in the first period, late, had a penalty shot that he put right off the iron, off the post, could have given Vancouver the 3-2 lead. 20 seconds later, Victoria took their own 3-2 lead. So it could have been 3-2 Vancouver. It wasn't. Could have, would have, should have. 20 seconds later, it was 3-2, but for the Royals. The Royals, by the way, outshot Vancouver 24-5. On the night, a three-goal second period for the Royals. Actually, after two periods, they outshot Vancouver badly on the night, but after two periods, the shots were 24-5, and the Royals had five power play goals in that game. Ouch. Ouch, I say. So the Giants now are, that was a road game, but now they're going to embark later on this week on a long road trip. Their Western Hockey League Eastern trip on Friday night, October, folks. Friday night, October the 3rd. Vancouver, where did the summer go? Vancouver at Swift Current on Friday night, Saturday there at Moose Jaw. Tuesday of the following week, we're talking October 2nd, Vancouver at Saskatoon. Then on the following night, they're at Prince Albert. And they're going to finish up the road trip Friday, October 10th in Brandon, and Saturday the 11th in Regina. Seven straight road games will come to an end. Next home game for Vancouver, Friday, October the 17th, on the second half of the month. Did I mention it was October already? Anyway, Friday, October 17th, that's the next home game for Vancouver. They will take on Wenatchee Wild on Friday. And then they're back on the road on Saturday the 18th. Who did this schedule? On Saturday the 18th, they're back in Penticton. First game on the road against the V's in Penticton. That will end a streak of 8 of 9 road games. Come back off the road trip. Again, the Saturday game on the 11th of October. Well, then you have the full week off to get ready for Wenatchee on Friday at home and back in the bus into Penticton on Saturday. And sometime early Sunday morning, you get your you get to roll over in your own bed for a first time. End of 8 of 9 on the road for Vancouver. And after that trip, then it's 5 of 6 at home for the Giants. Lots going on, as you're well aware. I want to jam this in just ahead of the head, or the head man, I should say, of the Giants, just from some of the flavor of that Friday night game, the 6-5 victory for the Giants. You're going to pick this up with Nathan and Bill doing the play-by-play. It's a 4-2 hockey game. It's early in the third period, and then things take a change, take a turn, and boy, the atmosphere inside the LEC ramped up.
You need one to start, one to get back into it, so split it up. You don't have to think of the big picture.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a turnover and a shot, quick one. Tittleback scores! His second of the game, and there's your Giants goal. They're back to within one. A Giants turnover, they caused that as Lynn, a backhander in tight. He scores! We're tied 4-4 with plenty of hockey left. Lynn's second of the year. Woodward was there to pick off the pass and leads to a 2-on-1. Moore down left side in front, runs. So what a save from Hood! And Schmidt then knocked it out of the air. Oh, a couple of marvelous plays. Hood with the save. And Schmidt, it almost went off his shin pad and was going to go in, and he whacked it out to center. All the way circles the net. He's got Schmidt up in the high slot. A shot is stopped. Reese, they score! Ty Haliburta, his first of the season, doing what he does best. 5-4, Giants lead.
Ryan Lynn is critical in making this play happen. Get that puck on a Cameron Schmidt stick. Haliburta right at the edge of the crease area, finds a rebound. It's going to be Haliburta from Schmidt and Lynn, and Vancouver has a 5-4 lead.
30 seconds left. Left circle, Woodward moves in and scores. We're tied again, 5-5. The goal coming with 27.8 seconds left in regulation. Way around to the right point. Runso will go back and regroup as Schmidt goes right at him, steals the puck. Here's Schmidt in overtime, and a breakaway stopped. It's loose, and the Giants can't get to that loose puck. Schmidt right corner, back up to Lynn, opens up to Schmidt, holding on, dragging, shooting, scores! Cameron Schmidt, an overtime winner! Giants beat the Royals 6-5.
Well, he emptied his holster. Cameron Schmidt must have shot the puck 5 times in this overtime. Lynn, Schmidt, nothing but net. Nate, I told you that if Cameron Schmidt wasn't going to be a factor late in the third period with the game tied, he would be, or with the game trailing again, he would be in overtime. That's obvious.
Great game, playoff atmosphere throughout the second half of that hockey game and certainly into the overtime. Whoa, people got their money's worth of that. 11 goals in that hockey game, 6 of them for the Giants. The final off the tape of Schmitty, and it came in sudden death late on a power play. In sudden death overtime. Great stuff at the LEC on Friday night. Meanwhile, as promised, the majority owner of the Vancouver Giants is now with us, Mr. Toigo, Mr. Ron Toigo. Hi, Ron. How are you, sir?
Good, Brooke. How are you?
Good. Happy 25th anniversary.
Yeah, thanks. Holy well, that flew by.
Wow. What about the next 25? I don't know.
Yeah. Tell me how it goes.
I don't know. I don't want to know. Yeah. And maybe at this point, from what I'm seeing around me with as I get older and people around me get older. First, I want to get into some of that, too, on the 25th, the silver anniversary. But what do you think about your hockey club, how things have started, and what you look forward to as the season progresses?
Well, I don't think anybody's really thrilled with the start. I think we expected a lot more. But having said that, it's a lot of new things to figure out, and I'm pretty confident that we'll get things figured out. I think going on the road is probably a good thing to do. Everybody get to know each other and bond and build a bit of a unity that they hope carry through the rest of the year.
I want to ask you a bit about and just mention the building that was hopping on Friday night in the 6-5 overtime win, by the way. You weren't there. I heard you were at a reunion of some nature.
Yeah, at the 50th.
Well, of what?
High school.
Okay. It can't be. Say it ain't so.
That's what I said.
Come on. I thought you'd say elementary school anyway or something.
No. I couldn't believe how many old people were there.
I know. Can you believe that? I know.
No.
These poor guys.
I don't know what happened to them.
I understand. Well, that's one thing with myself, too. I went to the first few high school reunions of my class, and then eventually I thought, I really don't, to be honest, I thought, I don't want to watch the whole class get older. I don't want to see this happen. So on the 60th, maybe.
Especially when you weren't.
Yes, exactly. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's all that white spot eating. It's all the, you know, it's all the great.
It's the secret sauce.
It's
the fountain of youth.
It's the coleslaw.
The triple O sauce.
Anyway, on Friday night, the building was hopping. I know maybe too many goals. Didn't like giving up five goals, but you should have heard that place in there. Like, it was buzzing, and this overtime run was incredible. So that building can rock.
That was good that they didn't quit and they didn't give up on it. And, you know, in the past, they get down 4-2, and they haven't been as resilient as that. So that was nice to see that.
Yeah, well, it was incredible, the buzz. It had a playoff buzz in that end-to-end overtime and all the great chances before Cameron Schmidt won it on Saturday or Friday night, too. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure glad they hit the post.
Yeah, yes. How about that one? Right off.
Wouldn't have been as good, Andy.
I hear you. Right off as we were talking in the booth. Right off. Couldn't have hit the post more centered on an opportunity of Victoria and OT and right back to the pads of Burke. It was a Burke hood. It was so much going on there. That was awesome, buddy.
No, I mean, we've got this thing figured out. We get it right. It'll be a lot of fun to be at the games.
I hear you.
That's the objective of all the things that have been done.
When you look back to, and I did want to talk about the 25-year anniversary and your first time here on White Spot Giants this week of this campaign. Year one in the 2001 season, even the move into Vancouver, what comes to mind when I drop that on you?
Well, I think really thinking about Gordy and Pat and what they meant to it and what they, you know, without them, I'm not sure how we launch and how things come together. Well, actually, it was Pat's idea to start this thing, and Gordy jumping in made it pretty academic for, you know, the odds of having success. And they were right into it, and the city was right into it, and it was a lot of fun. That first night was crazy. You know, we should have left the building wide open because we were capped at 7,500, I think, and probably could have filled the building. And it was took a while to get going. We were walking on the ice with the mayor of the day, Philip Owen, and they introduced him, and the entire crowd is booing him. And he looked, and he said, "Isn't this wonderful? Look at this participation." I go, "They're booing you." But it didn't matter. He thought it was great.
Can you walk me through what Pat, and I'm not that I'm done with that, but what made Pat come to you as an example, say, "Hey, what about Vancouver?"
Mm-hmm. Actually, it started when he got fired, and we were out for lunch, and we're talking about what are you going to do now, and he thought about hanging up his shingle, his law degree, and maybe going to that field, and he said, because I had the Tri-City Americans at the time, and he asked how one of these teams would do in Vancouver, and at the time, the prices for the Canucks had already moved up quite a bit, and so it had trouble competing when the prices weren't that far apart. And I felt, you know, it probably works now with the price point being that much different. So I'll look into it, and I started looking into it. And at the same time, it's when Washington was in the Stanley Cup Final, and George McPhee invited Pat out to watch the final, sit with him for the finals. And during that time, well, Smith, that was running the Toronto Maple Leafs at the time, was there as well, and they got talking. So they offered Pat the job to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he took that gig, and then we put this on the back burner. But the more I thought about it, the more I was getting tired of Tri-Cities and having to go drive down there for games. And so after... And then that summer, we were out fishing in the Charlottes with Pat and Gordy. And I said, "I think we should do this." And then Pat said, "Yeah, let's do it." And Gordy said, "Oh, then I want to be part of it." And so I just went from there. Within a couple, like 2001 when we started, but I think 2000, we went to the Board of Governors to get an expansion team. And as they say, the rest is history. But those first 5 to 10 years with their involvement, I do appreciate it. It means a lot to me. But at the time when you're just in it, they're just regular guys, and you know they're both Hall of Fame guys. But They meant so much to the franchise. Them sitting in the room with the guys, talking to the guys, and it's left in a huge void that's irreplaceable.
Yeah, and you remind me right there the amount of time they would go and hey, it's Pat Quinn. Hey, it's Gordie Howe. I mean, everyone knows who these, especially Gordie as well. No shot at Pat, but you people. It's Gordie Howe sitting in there talking to the kids, or all those promotions those guys did too, Pat and Gordie. At the Coliseum back in the day.
Well, one of the real amazing things is the night we won the Memorial Cup, the Coliseum's going crazy, and everybody's in pretty good frame of mind, and we're in the dressing room. We're going, "Where's Pat? Where's Gordie?" And before they came to celebrate with us, they went into the Medicine Hat room and talked to those guys about whatever they talked about. Imagine, but keep your head up, you guys. Just to help ease the pain a bit, and then before they came to us, and that's the character what those guys are. They know what those kids have been through. They've been there, and they have lots to pass on how to deal with those things. But none of our side of the table was thinking about Medicine Hat at that time. We were just too busy having a good time celebrating, but that's just what kind of guys those guys are.
Says so much about them. Is there, other than the Memorial Cup win, and you could go back to opening night again if you want to, but what stands out? Is there a 25-year highlight, one or two or 10?
Well, the Memorial Cup is definitely the highlight. And then winning the Western Hockey League Championship in Moose Jaw, that was a extremely memorial night for everybody, and even our first trip to the Memorial Cup in Moncton, that was quite an event as well. And those bonds, those friendships, carry you through life. And all those players on those teams are still really close friends, and still come out to our tournaments, and still. Come by when they're in town, they come by and then come to games whenever they can. And so I think, probably the last one that was really was the double overtime loss in Prince Albert, when how close we were to going back to the Memorial Cup. And, that double overtime when we just kept icing it because our guys couldn't get off. And you just knew something was going to happen, and then they eventually got just enough shots. And I think we iced it like three times, and Bo and those guys were just dying out there. And there was no timeouts, and they just wore us down. But that group, I felt, was really, really solid. And I thought that, the following year, we really felt we were going to be able to make things happen. And then we hit COVID, and everything changed again.
I was going to say that was 2019. That year you're speaking about, it's pre-COVID. It seems so long ago, yet it wasn't that long ago. I look back to COVID now, Ron, too, and going, really? Did we all go through that for like two years?
Well, 2020 was COVID, and 2019 was that run. And I think we were on like a 10-game winning streak when they shut us down. And all the pieces were there, and we felt we'd be able to finish it off that year.
Interesting. A lot of people lost a year of development, and there's a team that lost a year to win a Memorial Cup that year, too, as well.
Absolutely.
I know. I hear you. Well, Ron, thank you so much. Team's on the road for a couple of weeks. Don't want to keep you forever here, but it's 25-year anniversary again. Can't believe it. 50's coming up next, and it's going to be great. You and I will still be pals.
Yeah. Look forward to our 50th anniversary talk.
In 2050. Yeah, it'll be in 2050, you and me, let's write it down right here.
Sports, we'll do it. All right, let's book it.
Sports, book it. Done, man. It's going to happen.
All right.
I'll text you ahead of time, or else by then it'll be mental telepathy.
I'll beam you up. How's that?
Mental telepathy. MTU, mental telepathy you in that year. And just you'll be ready. We don't even need tape. We just do it. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. I'll see you when the team gets back from the trip.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Ron Tyko, the owner of the Vancouver Giants, majority owner. What an ownership group it is, too. Louis Bublé and Michael Bublé and Bruce Allen in there and Scott in there and Gordy was there and Pat was there. All the ownership group over the years. One thing with Vancouver and the Giants, whether they're at the Coliseum or at their Langley Event Center, solid ownership top to bottom, willing to be there every year as well. And a solid fan group, the base of the fan group, too. Couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much. That's Ron Toigel. Bill Wilms. Couldn't do it without Bill, too. He's been involved with the team since day one as well. Another 25-year veteran. Bill Wilms coming up next. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week. This is Sportsnet 650.
Lando, backhander in tight. He scores! We're tied 4-4 with plenty of hockey left. Lynn's second of the year.
Couple things I want you to watch on that. Number one is where he gets to get that puck on a turnover. And then how he handles the puck going to the net. It's not the smoothest. Got to get it between his legs. He stands on it. Then he goes and gets the rebound. You know what he was thinking there? My offense, my hands are good enough that if I get a second chance, I'll bury it.
Bill Wilms, Nathan Canter, they are doing the damage there in the play-by-play. That was a great game Friday night to come back for Vancouver. A playoff buzz in the post-game. Ryan Lynn, there's a buzz about him too. Bill Wilms is with us. Mr. Wilms, sir, 25-year veteran with the Vancouver Giants. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And it's some of this great talent that this Vancouver Giant team has had over the years that's memories that have been poured into my life that I'm very, very thankful for.
Man, 25 years. That's a lot of road trips, Bill. That's a lot of drive. You did a lot of time driving around, too, on the highways, whether it was you and Dan Russell or whoever. The numerous broadcasters you've worked with who you either drove or drove you. You've been all over, man. You've avoided mishap. That's a good thing.
Yeah. That's a praying wife.
What road trips stick out? Just anything in particular over the years? If I could avoid going to the Memorial Cup, just because that's the first one people choose. But I had Ron Toigel on early in the program, or just before you, as a matter of fact, as you probably would have heard. And he's talking about some of those, you know, the 25 years and going to some of the great events and being involved with Gordie Howe and Pat Quinn and others. What leaps off the plate at you?
Well, okay, just coming back from Victoria, just this last trip this weekend to Victoria and back. If you've been doing this 25 years, you know that that trip happens four times a year. So do the math, 100 plus times I've been over there. And it's the ferry trips that are so interesting and can be beautiful and obviously can be a little bit rough. But you know what, Brooke, one of the rules always, you know this as well as anybody, that when you go on a ferry, you got to know where you park your car, what level you're on, what side of the ship you're on. And I worked with a lot of different play-by-play guys, and one of the trips, I guess just recently, only because I was there recently, you know, on the weekend, one play-by-play guy that will go unnamed, unmentioned.
I know who it is already. Go.
I know. He's going to drive with me. He's going to ride with me. His first trip over there. And we start out, and he's forgotten his cell phone at the LEC. We're halfway to the ferry terminal. We've got to go back, get that. So we get on the boat, and, you know, I get in my car. I mean, we didn't particularly sit together. I mean, go where you want. You know, we're not tied at the hip with any guys. And, you know, we're unloading. Cars are moving, and there's no play-by-play guy. And I'm thinking, oh, they're starting to pass me because I'm sitting still. I can't wait. I can't go anywhere. I haven't got him with me. All of a sudden, I see him at the far end of the ferry. He's running. Cars are leaving. He's giving cars the Heisman. You know, look out, I'm coming. I got to get through here. And he gets in the car, and away we go. And I thought he'd get killed, but I hope it's a lesson, future lesson that he might have learned. He probably did. But I always have little things. If I park on the left side, either I'm top or bottom. I'm a left winger. And if I park on the right side, I'm a right winger on that trip. And if I'm on the top level, I'm line one. If I'm on the bottom level, I'm line two. And I mean, it works for me. I mean, I'm not always the easiest guy to remember that either, but be that as it may, that's a story that I'll never forget the scene. I can see it vividly as he's dodging cars.
Giving it the Heisman.
Yeah. Oh. Block. Hey, give me a look out, block. Honestly, I thought it was over, but yeah, here we are.
Well, I remember the broadcaster in particular. He's a very nice person, but was a little disorganized, disheveled. And that was one of many things in a short period of time, frankly, Bill, that were going on with the fellow was embarking on a play-by-play career with the Giants. It's funny. No longer with the Vancouver Giants. That's funny. Yeah, I know. You see people often who can't find their cars, and I get it on the ferry, but I do what you do. Other people just take a picture where they park their car.
Even thought of that.
Yeah, I know. Take a picture of the stairs you use because they got the whale on the side of the wall or whatever it is. And so anyway, there's a tip for the day. 25 years, though, man, quite a run. How did you get started with the Giants in the first place?
Well, I was doing Seattle with Dan Russell, and you know, he was driving a big Lexus, almost brand new Lexus at the time, and we traveled, you know. I mean, when Seattle was playing Kamloops, we were halfway there from Seattle almost, and same with Kelowna. You know, we were close, and we got started with the Thunderbirds, and then when Ron Toigo got the franchise for Vancouver, Dale Sipe and I had a couple chats, and it was like, well, it kind of a natural in terms of experience with the league, and here we are 25 years later, and I have nothing but gratitude and thanks. And you know what's really, really important to me, Brooke, is how, you know, the Vancouver Giants, the ownership group, and obviously Ron Peet, how they've trusted me for all that time to share their product on the air. This means an awful lot to me. I can get quite emotional thinking about that, to be honest with you. And it's been great.
Yeah, I got started because I know Dollywall, and that's 1,000%. I got a few jobs because I know Rick Dollywall. Good guy. Good guy.
Oh, yeah, good guy.
And he knew the Toigos, and a few years ago, they wanted more structure from a pregame show and postgame show standpoint. I wanted a specific host, and so Dollywall recommended me to Ron Toigo, and you know, then I met Ron, and ultimately I was doing the pregame and postgame shows in the intermissions, and when radio stations changed hands, Dale Sipes, such a buddy, he said, why don't you be our PA guy, and that's kept me involved, doing PA out there, and then this show. Other than knowing Dollywall, I'd be at London Drugs right now, trying to hang on to my job, frankly.
Well, and obviously you make the game... Well, I don't have to tell you, you know, the job that you've done and continue to do. And, you know, when I look at the Giants and my tenure with them, I think we got to the Memorial Cup in 06. That would have been, what, 4, maybe 5 years after the inception of the team, the expansion franchise? We got there in 06, and then we won it in 07. So we got, you know, I got the Memorial Cup ring fairly quickly in broadcasting, right, in my broadcast career. And then after that, it's the challenge of getting back again is what keeps you motivated. It keeps, I'm sure, the team motivated. It keeps everybody in the organization motivated. You've been there twice early in your career, in your existence, if you will, and then you're, you know, you're one constantly get back, and you always start the season with a lot of promise, and it hasn't been the case, and it's probably going to be not too long, and it'll be there again, I'm sure.
Yeah, 25 years. You say, how old were you then? How old was I then? And then suddenly, wow, is what I would say, Bill, more than anything. So what do you think of what you've seen from this hockey club for the first three games?
Well, Brooke, you know, what have we learned, you know, in the 2 weeks so far? One of the big things that jumps out for me, and I, you know, I can kind of expected it, we're learning that second-tier level players in the Western Hockey League, not the top-tier levels of all the players, but the second-tier level, that the players that teams will expose in the draft, in the expansion draft, and the teams that are willing to trade away prospects to get them, they are really, really good 19 and 20 year old players. Okay. Penticton, we saw that. We've seen that twice with, Victoria. In a way, I'm not surprised. All these guys needed was a chance. They're a year older. They've aged in. And these kids can play. They're skilled. They can create a lot of offense. What I've seen in the first three, games for the opposition is they can play. They can make pretty plays, and your team will be tested defensively very, very quickly. And this weekend, Friday, Victoria, 3 first-period goals. Saturday, got 3 first-period goals. I think they were almost all off the rush. Good puck movement. And your team, in this case, the Vancouver Giants, your offense has to challenge the opposing team's offense. And I'm not sure that's happened as much as might have been expected for the Vancouver team. I don't think they can continually be chasing the game. So far, in the three games, the Giants have played, I think in the three games, a total of 8 minutes with the lead, a little over 8 minutes. So that's number one, I think, that we're learning is this is a pretty good Vancouver Giant team, but they're running into some pretty good opposition that's facing them. And it's a credit to, like I say, to that second-tier level of players that have possibly, career years as 19-year-olds or in some cases even as 20-year-olds. So, that's what we've seen. And, they really, like, if I can go back to the last game, you've got to problem solve properly. And when you're getting a little offensive production, as they did in Victoria, and you're losing your discipline, those two things, you're taking penalties, that's a deadly combination. And that's what we saw, and I think that's what the team is learning. They gave up 5 power play goals. They couldn't get any flow. It was stop-and-go play, and it's ramped up. I think the team has seen that the first three games of the season have been ramped up a whole lot more than the preseason when the Giants, I thought, at 4-0, were going to have a terrific start.
Yeah. Yeah. 19 goals against in the three games. I just look around the league just for kicks, basically, Bill. But in three games, other teams, Brandon's given up 20 goals in the East in three games. Somebody else in the West, 15 goals against for Portland in the three games they've played. So there are some teams giving up a lot of goals early, and they're at the bottom of the standings, basically, at the moment. So what upside do you see, Bill? What are you seeing?
Well,
that's your
good
interest?
Cameron Schmidt, first game back, Friday night, obviously, we kind of expected that and knew that, but he can affect the outcome of a game right away. The 5-4 goal that when the Giants did take the lead, he got the assist, the primary assist on that one. And then he gave the Giants a lead in overtime to win the game 6-5. So he was instrumental, albeit late in the game. And again, as I say, Brooke, probably to no surprise, when he made a real appearance in that game, he can affect the outcome. I thought Burkhood, again, showed that he can win games. Given up some goals, probably not a lot his fault, to be honest with you, but he made 2 timely saves in the Friday night game. Maybe not the most spectacular, but they were, extremely timely to preserve that outcome. And on a positive side, the team did score the first 3 shots on goal Saturday night in Victoria on a 16-year-old goaltender who had never played a game in the league. And that's the good news. The bad news, I think they had 5 shots on goal in the next 40 minutes. And they never got to a point where they made the kid nervous. He never got in a situation with a game on the line. And that was a little disappointing. And, hockey is a game of individual parts and can be really tightly connected or very loosely connected. And I think that's a work in progress, to be honest with you. But it's also the challenge, I think, for the fans to get on board and follow this team, because you're going to see, a very different team, I'm sure, before long. There's a lot of talent there. I think defensively they've got a problem in terms of checking. And as I said, those good opposing team forwards that are getting all that ice time now as 19 and 20-year-olds, they're making it very, very difficult. They're challenging. They're having access to the front of the net. And that's a problem that I know you can clean up, no question. Hey, and it starts Friday night in Swift Current.
It does. Here goes the big. You driving there?
Am I driving there?
You're going to drive to Swift Current? Why wouldn't you? Get Eve in the car?
No.
Another road trip?
No, Ron's been good to me. I'll go into Regina
that'd be good.
And do the trip from there.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Yeah, you don't want to drive there. Yeah, call Russell up. Get him to drive.
Well, you know, even with Dan, we had a with Seattle, we had a real good deal with Air Canada at the time. In exchange, let me just say that
it's a promo on the air.
We got some pretty good deals, and yeah. We got upgraded an awful lot to the front of the aircraft. It was good, but no, there again, that's where they've been very, very good to me. I mean, I picked up the bus occasionally from a hotel to the arena in the visiting team on the prairies, but Swift Current yeah. Friday, Moose Jaw Saturday, and I want to say this too with the Swift Current Broncos. They with the penalty kill problems the Giants have, Friday night they're going to be playing against the number one power play team in the Western Hockey League. So they've got some things to clean up, no question. There's a lot of skill there, a lot of talent. It's got to be a little better, you know, connected a little better. A little more chemistry and a little better work between forwards and defense in their own zone, working as a unit, and things should turn out pretty good.
Two quickies before I let you run, Bill. One is nobody likes upgrades more than Dan Russell, and nobody gets gets them more than Russell too. Like he was negotiate those upgrades no matter where you are, the hotel, the car, the airport, whatever. Russell likes the upgrades, and he gets them. If you know what you're doing, you can get them.
And you know, Brooke, you know better than anybody. I did those those games those years with him. A lot of that was Shaw games. I don't think Dan ever did a Vancouver Giants radio game.
I don't think
but
so.
But we did some certainly a lot of Shaw games on television involving the Vancouver Giants. And you know, I know. He calls the shots.
Yeah.
And
was along for the ride, and it was great to go, okay, upgrade. I don't have to go up there and do negotiating with the manager. Russ lives for that. He lived for that stuff. So it was cool. Oh, great, an upgrade. Okay, cool. I'm in. Russ, let's do this again. Yeah. That was the first one. Part 2 of 2, Tyler Thorpe. I know a couple of weeks ago you and I were chatting about him. He has been sent to Laval by the Habs. He played 2 exhibition games for them. He had 2 assists, 1 in each game. Played about 16 minutes a night in those exhibition games, both victories for the Habs, Bill. He had a combined 11 hits in those 2 games as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so I wanted to just get your thought because I know you're a Tyler Thorpe fan.
Yeah, no, and I said to you last time, I think he said he put on 20 pounds. He didn't feel, you know, any slower. That's a big factor. If he's getting involved physically at that, if he's doing that physically at the American Hockey League level and producing points, he'll play with the Montreal Canadiens.
Got his 3-year entry-level deal in April, I think, as well, so that's comforting. But, yeah, he had 6 hits in his first game and 5 in his second game, about 16
wow.
minutes of ice
good
time.
Good stat. That's good. I like to hear that.
Yeah, a couple of assists, good for him. The former Giant at Laval right now, looking for a shot ultimately with the Montreal Canadiens. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. As always, top shelf stuff, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bill Wilms, the 25-year veteran, the silver veteran of the silver anniversary of the Vancouver Giants Hockey Club. Nathan Cantor's coming up next. He's only been around like 4 years. Come on, it's nothing. Come on back and see me in 20 more years, Nathan. But he's coming up in just around the corner after a short break. I'm Brooke Ward. That was Bill. Ron Toigle earlier in the program. Cantor next. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. This is Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Schmidt right corner, 20 seconds. Back up to Lynn. Opens up to Schmidt. Holding on, dragging, shooting! Scores! An overtime winner! Giants beat the Royals 6-5!
The OT winner! You heard it, Cameron Schmidt. Nathan Cantor with the call. Hi, Nathan. How are you, pal? What a game. I just forget the Saturday game. I mean, most people would like to. Friday night, that was fun. That was playoff atmosphere, especially in OT.
That was great, wasn't it? Yeah, that was, I think we came into the season and look at the forward group and this team is going to be able to score some goals. And, you know, first game, not so. And first couple periods, you know, one here, one there. And then third period. Oh, boy. Yeah, that was, you know, what the Western Hockey League often can be about is those kinds of multi-goal comebacks that are obviously happen more in junior than in professional hockey that are so fun to be a part of. I'm sure the fans enjoyed that. And, they, you know, there was a bit of a scare where Victoria did tie it with the goalie out. You go, oh, and then, of course, yeah, Schmidt, the winner in overtime in his first game back from Dallas Stars camp. So, yeah, that's that was a ton of fun. It's early in the season, so there's a lot of goals both ways, and I think that's a big part of it, it being so early with a new staff, new faces. And that's, yeah, that was this weekend, I guess it was the weekend of goals, and more goals.
Well, you know, many people will say in the NFL, they say, well, they play two exhibition games in the NFL. And then it said that, well, the rest of September actually is the preseason. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, you don't play that many preseason games, certainly with the full crew and in the dub. And so it's kind of like, yeah, you know what? September's all of September, even though some count the standings, you could make a case. I say with authority, Nathan, I'm going to pound my fist. I say that you could make a case for that. You're still trying to figure things out.
Oh, very much so. And I guess the first thing is, you know, for anyone looking at Saturday and coming off that, like, let's everyone take a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out. It's everything will be fine just because, you know, this team on paper is so much better than obviously what they've shown so far. It's they have a win. They're one and two. And there's been some very messy defensive play. There's been, you know, too many odd man rushes given up. Coaches are, you know, even if you had a returning staff, there would still be some, you know, some system stuff, I'm sure, in some instances that, you know, with those new faces that you'd still be going over. And this is, again, two new assistants, new head coach, new way of playing. And so stuff is going to happen and it will work itself out. I think you got to look at, obviously the team's going to be going on their Saskatchewan trip. That's six games. Yeah, the six plus the three, you get a pretty good sample, but I think you got to go a little more than that. Maybe, you know, 12 to 14 games to really, I think, see what you've got. And obviously if you don't want to get behind the eight ball. I'm not saying everything will be fine if they start the season 2-11 or 2-12 or whatever. But I don't think that's going to happen either. Right. Like
they need a trip though, right? Didn't you do the same thing last year?
100%. I think the trip is at a great point last year. And I guess what I'm also trying to say is process is almost at this point is more important than the results. In a way, last season, they go on the trip. They go 2-3, if you remember. But the trip was a step forward. It was, they came back and were much better and more cohesive. And there was so many good things. They almost went on a trip where they deserved to finish better than 2-3. And then, you know, there were some goaltending issues when they came back. But, and then eventually they found it. But so if you're looking at, I think what you need from this trip, you can say, oh, they need to go 500. They need to go 3-3. I think they just need to find, you know, their identity a little more and figure out exactly the way Parker Burgess, head coach, wants them to play. Figure out, you know, a little more, obviously, the penalty kill. There's been some holes there. The power play looks really good. But, you know, you can see the offensive talent in that. The amount of goals they've scored versus how many shots they've had, like their shooting percentage is incredible. This team is going to score goals. And, you know, Burke Hood is going to, you know, he's got an 8-10 save percentage. That's not good. That's just early season, you know, small sample size. That's not going to continue. You know what you have in net. So, yes, there are concerns that will be addressed. Just let's give it some time. Let's see how they do. And I agree. I think this trip is coming at the best time in the season.
Last year, as you mentioned, a five-game trip that went through Alberta, right? Calgary, Red Deer, mm-hmm. Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, Edmonton. And where are you this year? Swift? Oh, you could start making your plans now through the nightclub life at Swift Current, then Moose Jaw, Saskatoon, Prince Albert, Brandon, and then Regina. Six in a row on the road, at least on this trip, seven straight road games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to need a couple W's on that trip, obviously. Let me ask you, my friend, what positives are you seeing from any, pick a player, but I mean, there's a few I've got on top of my head, some young guys in particular, but what have you seen from the broadcast booth?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, offensively, there are some positives. Like, you got players, again, three games have been played. And I'm just from the stats, like Lynn, 5 points, Haliburta, four, Sparks, four, Schmidt, four, Tittleback, three. So all those players are at or above a point per game. We know what Ryan Lynn's going to do. Ryan Lynn is going to have a fabulous season. Everyone's coming to watch him. He's draft eligible, top 10 pick, all that stuff. That's not a surprise. Ty Haliburta, you know he's going to score. He's got 3 goals in 3 games. You know, early on a lot on the power play, but he's going to be a 30 goal guy. Like, he is, based on his track record and based on the way he plays. He's a leader on this team, but he's also a producer here in his fifth year. He's going to score. No worries there. The big, I think, pleasant surprise is the step that Tyus Sparks has taken, because he is also draft eligible like Lynn, but I think he looks quicker. He is always had the shot, but he's adding to that. Now he's a multidimensional offensive threat in different ways, and hard to knock off the puck, has a little bit of deceptive speed, and he's going to, I think, have a season. It's going to be, you know, still a young player, so remains to be seen, but he has been so good so quick. Schmidt, 4 points in 2 games already. We know he's going to score. How many is the question? And Adam Tittleback, again, I think has been very good. 27 goals last year. How many this year? The other player who I think early has had a good start. Blake Chorney, the rookie, has had a very good start, even though, you know, just one assist in 3 games. But the player I do want to talk about is Jacob Oreskovic. I think he can be a very effective player in terms of creating turnovers and being, you know, a little annoying to play against. Like, he's that guy who's, I think, a good F1, like, in terms of going in on the forecheck, making stuff happen, causing turnovers. He has a couple assists so far, and he can, you know, when he's got that energy, which I think so far early in his career, you know, he's trying to find his way, and he's one of those three first-round picks in the same draft and a little inconsistent. But if he can be consistent with that effort level, I think he's going to be a player to watch as well for the Giants this season. So, yeah, so definitely offensively, there's been some good things with, you know, some players we expected, and then a couple surprises as well.
I hear you. And shored up. And I like Chorney, too, the speed that you talked about, too. I just watching his wheels, my first time reading to see him. And hockey sense. Even some of the passes he makes, even if they're not necessarily getting through, you can see the moment the puck, probably before the puck hits his stick, he has a plan of what he plans to do with it. So I'm seeing bits and pieces of that, like that kid. The trip, Swift Current on Friday. When do you leave? When do you iron lung? Are you warming it up right now? What's the travel plan?
Oh, yeah, we head out early. I like it. We leave Tuesday for, again, you said the first game is Friday, so we leave Tuesday for Calgary and, you know, slowly take our time in Calgary the next day. Obviously get to Swift a little early, but you get to practice before the Friday game in Swift Current, and then on to Moose Jaw, which I believe is just, I think it's only a couple, maybe even less than a couple hours. So it is pretty close, those first two, Swift Current, Southwest Saskatchewan. And obviously Moose Jaw is also Southern Saskatchewan. So, and then from there, yeah, onto Saskatoon. Saskatoon's kind of the base for this trip where, you know, cause you have, after those first two games, you have a couple days off, you know, the Sunday, the Monday, you don't play. So you base in Saskatoon, and you can stay in Saskatoon when you play in PA as well. Prince Albert is less than a couple hours away as well. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's very nice that way, the way this trip has been planned out.
Nathan, you're the best, man. You called 24 goals on the weekend. You're the best. That's a lot of goals.
That was actually, just quickly, that was funny because Victoria's play-by-play guy after the game yesterday.
Yeah, sore throat.
The first thing he said, he came over and he said, "We called a lot of goals." And I went, it happens. Yeah. It's part of what I love about this league.
Yeah,
it's great.
The bad part is he called 14 of them and you called 10. So,
yeah.
thanks, Nathan. Have a safe journey, my brother. We'll find you next week.
Yes, of course we will. Thank you so much, Brooke.
He is Nathan Canter. He is the play-by-play voice of your Vancouver Giants. The Giants' next home game, October 17th, Oktoberfest night. Going to have Dale Sipe on next week, who's in charge of everything Giant. We'll talk about Oktoberfest, hockey fights, cancer, trick-or-sweet night coming up, all these things coming up in October. Wenatchee in town, Friday, October 17th. That's the next home game after this six-game road trip for the Giants. Get your tickets right now, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Thanks for being with us tonight. Ron Toigo early in the program, Bill Wilms and Nathan Canter. I am Brooke Ward. Thank you so much for Jack the Giant.
Ho, ho, ho.
Can't leave home without him. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants this week. This is the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network.